Well, I hope you enjoyed that song from Luke and his band as much as we enjoyed making it. And as we said before, if you send in a contribution, do not worry, only snippets were used in that song, but they will be played in full at the end of the service so that everybody can see the amazing creativity from those in the church that wanted to take part and include their sort of sock puppet videos. But when it comes to Easter, what is Easter really all about? Is it just about chocolate eggs and giant bunnies and that kind of thing? Or is there something more to it? Is there a message of Easter that is so important? It is about celebrating and being thankful. But we need to know what we're celebrating and being thankful for. Now, if you want to join in with this talk at home, what you're going to need is, you're going to need a pair of scissors handy, and you're going to need a piece of A4 paper. And once you've got your piece of A4 paper and your scissors, then you can join in with me and see what that story is all about. Now, in order for you to be able to see what's going on, we're going to do a bit of trickery with the camera to sort things out. So I'm going to appear down by here. Hello! And he's going to disappear from up by there. And instead, you're going to see the piece of paper and the scissors. So, if you watch with me very carefully, you'll see just what you need to do to prepare your piece of paper ready for telling our story today and explaining all about Easter. But if we're going to really explain Easter, we need to know all about the very beginning of the story. So let's get things ready and then we'll go from there. So what you need to do, first of all, is you need to take your piece of paper and you need to fold it. Take one corner and fold it right the way over until it reaches the other side. So just take it like that and fold it up, and you should get a piece of paper that looks a little bit like that. Then you take this very top point by here, and you're going to fold that over, and that is going to join up over that way, just like that. So it looks a bit like a little house. And once you've got that by there, then what we're going to do is we're going to fold it in half. So we're going to take it over, we'll fold it a bit like we're making a paper plane, or that kind of thing. When you fold it in half like that, then you've got that. And then, again, a bit like a paper plane, what we're going to do is we're going to fold over the sides to make it look a bit like we're making wings, but we're not making a paper plane. We're actually doing something much more exciting by here. So let's see. So if we take this by here and fold that over by there, just like that, we'll turn it over, and we fold this over by here as well, you should end up with a piece of paper that looks a little bit like that. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take the scissors and we're going to cut once. And the one cut is going to simply be right down the middle of the paper by there. So if you just cut like that, it doesn't have to be perfect, but just try to aim for the middle as best as you can, and then you'll get lots of different pieces. Now, in this we're going to have lots of different things, but we just need a couple of them first. So if you take the big bit and just pop that to one side, and these two that look a little bit like spears, if you sort of open them up, you'll find that there's a little square of paper inside by there. We're going to be using those at the beginning. And the same with the other one, there's a little square of paper. When you open it up, sorry, it looks a bit like a square of paper, you'll see that that's by there, and we're going to be using that. So pop those other two out the way. And then over here, you're going to find it separates off like that. And this one will also then have one inside that just pulls out and separates off as well. And I said that if we were going to truly understand Easter, we needed to understand the beginning of the story. Now, often when we think of the beginning of the Easter story, people think back to last Sunday, Palm Sunday, Jesus riding into Jerusalem, but that wasn't the beginning of the story. You see, the story began a long, long time before that. If you unfold that piece of paper by there, and unfold that one by there, then actually, when we take these two by here, we've got something that looks a little bit like a tree. Because you see, the story began in a garden. A garden that God made right at the very beginning. God made the whole world and everything in it, and God made a garden, the most amazing and incredible place. A place where nothing bad ever happened and no one was ever sad. The Garden of Eden. And there he placed people. And he said that they could enjoy and do whatever they wanted. And actually it was an amazing and incredible place because they were with God. But there was just one thing he told them not to do, which was to eat the fruit off the tree in the middle of the garden. And things would have been great if people had just listened to God and done what God asked them to do. But that's not what they did. We know that Adam and Eve took the fruit and they ate it. And the problem was that brought bad things into the world. It brought into the world what the Bible calls sin, which is just something within us that causes us to turn away from God and say, I want to go my way, God. I don't want to go your way. I don't want to listen to you. I want to do what I want to do. And the problem was, because in God's garden, in his perfect place, there could be nothing bad and no one was ever sad, but he couldn't let sin into his garden. So if you fold these back over, it looks a bit like a gate. Because actually that's what God had to do, was essentially put something like a gate across the entrance to the garden so that no one could get back in. But you see, God's gates aren't like our gates. It's not like a big gate that you might see fencing off a big house or something like that. God's gate was actually two giant, mighty warrior angels. And the mighty warrior angels stopped anybody from getting in. Essentially what they were saying was what God was saying. God was saying, because of your sin, you can't come in. God had made a wonderful, incredible place, the most wonderful place of all. But he had to say to people, because of your sin, you can't come in. And people lived through hundreds of years thinking about what God wanted them to do, but still, people didn't want to listen to God. They still didn't want to follow him. So God asked the people to make something really special. He asked them to make a temple, an amazing, incredible place, and God was going to live in that temple. Right in the heart of the temple, God was going to be there. It was going to be the most wonderful place on all of earth because God was there. But then God asked them to do something else. If you take these two bits right here and just place them in the middle, it helps to remind us that God asked them to make a curtain. No ordinary curtain. This curtain was really, really thick. In fact, the Bible tells us the curtain was as thick as a man's hand. You know, my curtains at home are really thin, but this was a huge, thick curtain. And it was placed right at the entrance to the middle of the temple, the place where God would be. And on that curtain, it was decorated with lots of different things. And on there were mighty warrior angels to remind the people that because of your sin, you can't come in. You know, basically, this was there, the temple was there to remind people that it's wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. The most incredible place we could ever be is with God, but because of our sin, we can't come in. But you see, one day, something amazing happened. You see, in that temple, for hundreds of years, the curtain had been there, reminding people that because of your sin, you can't come in, but one day, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Instead of that curtain being a giant no entry sign that said, because of your sin, you can't come in, suddenly it was gone. There was a tear right the way from top to bottom saying, there now is a way in. But what could that way be? Well, let me tell you what had been happening just outside the city where the temple was at that moment when the curtain was torn in two. If you push these to one side for a minute, take these pieces out of the way, and actually take this big piece that you put aside earlier and unfold it, you'll find that actually, amazingly, because of the way we cut things earlier, that big piece is a cross. And actually it reminds us that actually what was happening outside the city was that Jesus was dying upon a cross. Now, he wasn't the only person that died on a cross that day. If you take these other two pieces, then we've sort of got little L shapes by here that you can then take and place on these to show that actually there were three crosses on that hillside that day. And actually, the people either side of Jesus were thieves. They were there on a cross because of the things they'd done that were wrong. You see, that's why people were put on a cross. It was a punishment for doing things that were wrong. But, well, Jesus there in the middle, well, he'd never done anything wrong. So something different was happening there for him. The Roman governor ordered that a sign be placed over Jesus' head. That sign said that here is the King of the Jews. You see, Jesus said that he was the one that God had promised from the beginning. From that very moment in the garden when things all went wrong, God promised he was going to send someone who was going to save everybody. And that's who Jesus said he was. But even though Jesus, who said he was the King of the Jews, the Messiah, was there dying upon a cross, the people still weren't interested in listening. The people still didn't want to follow and trust God. In fact, the Bible tells us that the soldiers took dice and were throwing them at the base of the cross to decide who was going to get his clothes. And you know, in fact, one of the people on the cross there, who was just about to die, actually started to join in with the soldiers, started to insult Jesus, make fun of him. And he called out, "If you're really the Son of God, why don't you call down some angels to get yourself down and get us down whilst you're at it?" But you see, there was something going on that cross. Because if Jesus was just an ordinary person dying on a cross, why on earth did that curtain in the temple tear in two? Something else was going on. And actually, do you know the other thief realized that? The other thief looked at Jesus. And we don't know why. Maybe it was the sign that said it was the King of the Jews. Maybe he'd heard Jesus before. Maybe he just saw that there was something different about him. But he looked at Jesus and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, that thief would have known about the curtain. He would have known about the history. He would have known what happened. He would have known that because of his sin, he couldn't come in into God's special and amazing place. But yet he turns to Jesus and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He knew that because of what Jesus was doing, there was a way that he could get in. He knew that it was wonderful to live with God, but because of his sin, he couldn't come in. But he knew that Jesus was doing something there that was going to change everything. You see, I said, didn't I, that Jesus had never done anything wrong. But yet he was placed upon a cross. And the reason that he was placed there was because he'd chosen to go there. He chose to go there for you and for me. He chose to go there for our sin, for the things that we've done that are wrong. He took all of that upon himself on the cross so that we, if we turned and put our trust in him, we could be forgiven. Just like that thief, we could turn and call out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to put my trust in you and I want to live for you." You know, Jesus said something amazing to that thief. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You see, what Jesus was saying is because of what he'd done, that thief could come in. It's wonderful to live with him, but because of our sin, we can't come in. But Jesus says, "I died on the cross to take your sin, so all my friends can now come in." Because you see, this wasn't the end of the story. You see, what happened then was actually that Jesus was taken down from the cross. And actually, his body was placed within a tomb, which was like a special cave dug into the rock for that purpose. And then across the entrance to the tomb, they rolled a great huge stone. A stone that meant that no one could get in and no one could get out. And that should be the end, shouldn't it? Jesus was dead, it was finished, it was over. But that wouldn't be a very great reason to celebrate and be thankful for Easter, would it? The reason we celebrate and are thankful is because of what we celebrate today, Easter Sunday. You see, this happened on Good Friday. Jesus was placed inside that tomb and nothing else happened for the rest of Friday. Nothing happened on Saturday. But on Sunday, everything changed. Not just everything at that time of history, but everything for all of history evermore changed because of what Jesus did. You see, on that Sunday morning, some of Jesus' closest friends, some women, came to the tomb and they found that the stone had been rolled away. It was no longer there. And when they went inside, they found that Jesus wasn't there either. His body had gone. It hadn't been taken away. Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus was alive again. His body was no longer in the tomb and it was showing that actually he had defeated death. He had come back to life so that anybody who put their trust in him could also know that they could have amazing life as well. You see, the Bible makes it clear to us what a difference it means to trust Jesus or not trust Jesus. You see, as that curtain reminded the people all those years ago, because of your sin, you can't come in. And the Bible says that those that don't know Jesus have that problem. That because of their sin, they can't come in. And actually, it's a bit like being stuck down at the bottom of a great big deep pit. That the Bible says forevermore, if we don't trust in Jesus, we'll be stuck, separated from him, away from him for all of eternity. But because of what Jesus did that day when the barrier was broken, when the curtain in the temple was torn in two, when the no entry sign into heaven and God's amazing and incredible garden was taken away, God actually did something incredible. You see, Jesus, who is God, said that actually what he was doing that day was something amazing and fantastic. You see, what he was saying is that by what he'd done on that cross, he was actually coming to give this to each and every one of us. That actually, what he wanted to do was to give us life. Life everlasting. Life forevermore. Because of what he'd done on that cross. And you know, that wasn't just something that he said was available 2,000 years ago. But actually, what Jesus said is that if you're willing to turn and put your trust in him and him alone, because of what he did on that cross, then actually, you can put a great big tick across your life. That actually, you too can know that you have life forevermore because you've put your trust in Jesus. Jesus' offer is available to everybody. So this Easter, don't just think about the eggs and the chocolate and that kind of thing, but remember the real meaning of Easter. That the reason we celebrate and are thankful is because Jesus died on that cross for us and rose to life so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have life forevermore with him if we're just willing to turn and put our trust in him. So I encourage you this Easter, why not make it the greatest Easter ever? Why not turn this Easter, turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to put my trust in you. I'm sorry for those times I've messed up. I'm sorry for my sin. I realize that because of my sin, I can't come into your special place. But I also know that you died on the cross to take all of my sin so that if I put my trust in you, I can come in. That's the most amazing and incredible and fantastic news ever. So I encourage you this Easter, why not put your trust in Jesus? And know what an amazing and incredible difference he can make in your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you came on that very first Easter. I thank you that you came for each and every one of us. You came to change everything. Lord, we know that because of our sin, we can't come into your special place. But we also know that you tore down that curtain. You broke that barrier in two to show that actually by what you had done on that cross, we could come in. That on that cross, you took our sin so that we could be forgiven if we put our trust in you. God, I pray that you help us to know what that means. And I pray that for some this Easter, they may choose to turn and put their trust in you. And for the first time, know what amazing and incredible thing it is to be part of your family forevermore and having eternal life with you. Amen.